some of those things in your life. I know what I'm talking about.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate His death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Oh, how I love Thee, because He first loved me. God, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we come now. We thank You for another preaching privilege. And we ask now that You allow Your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst, and then grant us fresh anointing of Your Spirit. And isn't that anointing grant us preaching power? And Lord, we'll be careful to give You all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank You. Amen. I would that you turn with me now to the book of Proverbs. That's right after the Psalms. The book of Proverbs, the first chapter. The book of Proverbs. Amen. The book of Proverbs. If you can find Psalms, just keep on going forward, and then it'll be the next book. Amen. Proverbs. I want to read verses 7 through 9, but our focus will be on verse 7, where we draw our text and subject. And we're just going to be going through this book of Proverbs. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
Everybody need a little more time? Say hold on. All right. Somebody say hold on. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1. Amen. Are we ready?
Amen.
All right. And it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. My son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chain about thy neck. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And for a little while, I won't talk from the subject, the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
That's my subject this morning, the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
And so you may be seated. And let me begin by saying that the book of Proverbs is a section of the Bible known as wisdom literature. The other books in this section are Job, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, and the Songs of Solomon. Now, the focus of these books is to instruct folk in the ways of the Lord and in His service and worship. But now, the book of Proverbs is a collection of teachings from Solomon to his son, showing the young man how to live his life in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord. And you know what? I believe that we all need that kind of instruction. But if there is a key verse that unlocks the power and purpose of this great book, it would be the verse 7 that we just read. Because if we can learn, wisdom and knowledge, it must begin with the fear of the Lord. But you know, this isn't a subject that's preached about much in our day, but it's still vital to the Christian faith, because we need to know what the fear of the Lord is all about, because this is a very vital line of thought in the book of Proverbs, because it's mentioned roughly 18 times in its pages. Now, in all, this phrase can be found 27 times in the Bible. And so I believe that if so much emphasis is placed on fearing the Lord, then I believe that we need to know what it means and how we can go about doing it. And so with your prayers this morning, I'd like to take a few minutes and preach from this book concerning the fear of the Lord. Because I believe that the Lord wants to teach us what this matter of fearing him is all about. He wants you and me to grow in our relationship with him and in our knowledge of him. And the way knowledge begins is with the fear of the Lord. And so in the first movement of the text, we see a definition of the fear of the Lord. And so what does the phrase "the fear of the Lord" refer to? Because usually when we think of fear, we associate the word with terror. Now, Webster Dictionary defines fear as a feeling of anxiety and agitation produced by the presence or nearness of danger, evil, pain, and so on. Now, for many, this would describe the feeling you get when perhaps you see a snake, go to the doctor or the dentist, or when you find yourself in a time of extreme danger. It is the dread of the unknown. But surely this is not the sensation the writer of Proverbs is referring to, because in our modern vernacular, the word fear in the context in which it is used by Solomon has been replaced with reverence, awe, and humility in his presence. In other words, what the writer of this book is saying is that we ought to have a deep reverence and respect for the Lord. Literally, we ought to be awed and humbled by his presence. And so what does it mean to fear the Lord? My brothers and sisters, when we truly fear the Lord, we will recognize that he is the creator and we are the creatures. He's the master and we are the servants. He's the father and we are the children. Because having this understanding will manifest itself in our having a respect for God, his word, and having our having a desire to do what he tells us in his Bible. And so we can relate to this kind of fear to that of a child for their parents. Because if the right kind of fear is present, a child knows that his parents can hurt him if there's disobedience, but overriding that fear is the knowledge that obedience also hurts the parents. And the child loves and respects his parents and does not want to hurt them in any way. And simply put, the fear of the Lord is a deep-seated reverence of God that causes men to want to please him at all costs. Why is this? Because genuine fear of the Lord is always seen in obedience to the word of God. Meaning people who do not walk in line with God's word do not fear the Lord, regardless of what they profess with their lips. However, when we fear the Lord, there is perhaps an element of what his wrath can do. Although those of us who are saved don't have to worry about the wrath of God, but there is to be a respect for him and for his will that nothing else matters but doing that which pleases the Lord. It is said that Oswald Chambers, an early Scottish Baptist holiness evangelist and teacher, once said, "The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. And so let me ask you, would you describe your life as one lived in the fear of God? Does the fear of God prompt you to live holy? Does respect for him and his will prompt you toward obedience and godliness? If not, perhaps you don't fear God and is still under his wrath. For the Bible says in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, from heaven, God shows how angry he is with all the wicked and evil things that sinful people do to crush his truth. Which brings us to the next movement of the text, and that is the dividends of fearing the Lord. According to the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord will produce certain benefits in your life as well as mine. Because when we fear the Lord, we will find certain things to be true. Well, first, we find that it is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Note verse 7 of the text says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Then we read in Proverbs 9 and 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of holy is understanding. Also in Proverbs 15:33, it says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before is humility. Simply put, showing respect to the Lord will make you wise, and being humble will bring honor to you. And my brothers and sisters, here we see that the best place to begin to search for truth is truth and wisdom is in the fear of the Lord. Because the true fear of the Lord is born out of knowledge of how infinitely powerful, majestic, and full of goodness our God is. And my brothers and sisters, before one can grow in the Lord, he or she must first learn to fear him, respect him. Why is this? Because it motivates people to holiness. Note Proverbs 3 and 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Simply put, don't think that you are wise enough, but respect the Lord and stay away from evil. Then Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Now, the bottom line, if we truly love God, our sin will be forgiven, and if we show respect, we will keep away from sin. And so these verses tell us that the fear of the Lord promotes holy living. Now, because the person who truly reverence and respect the Lord as he or she should will not do anything to bring disgrace, dishonor, or pain to the heart of God. Because people who genuinely fear the Lord will flee from evil. Now, for instance, Job is a great example of what the fear of the Lord will produce in your life. Note God asked Satan, and Job 1:8, what do you think about my servant Job? No one on earth is like him. He's truly a good person who respects me and refuses to do evil. Here we see that Job had a fear of the Lord. But not only that, Proverbs 10:27 reveals that the fear of the Lord prolongs life. Notice says that the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. But now let me put a pin there, because this is not a blanket promise, because any number of things can happen along the road of life that can take you and me out of this world in an instant. However, generally speaking, those who live in the fear of the Lord are more likely to live to a good old age than those who live after the flesh and the world. And I tell you, the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. Because how many young men and women who are living the fast life of drugs and crime, many don't live to reach 25 or 30 years old because of their lifestyle. Also, it's said that approximately 60% of all human illness can be traced directly or indirectly to fear, sorrow, envy, resentment, guilt, hatred, and any number of emotional stresses. And to add to that, the awful pain caused by alcohol abuse produces cirrhosis of liver. Tobacco use produces emphysema, cancer, and heart disease. Immorality produces venereal disease and AIDS. And so we can see that a life lived in the fear of the Lord with obedience to his word will result in a much healthier existence. But not only does the fear of the Lord prolong life, but it also produces a sense of security. We know Proverbs 14:26 says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children shall find refuge. Because when we are walking in the fear of the Lord, we can have confidence that the Lord God is on our side. Note Romans 8:31 asks, what shall we say to these things? He said, if God be for us, then who can be against us? Because the person who's walking in the fear of the Lord and living by the book will have fewer feelings of insecurity, abandonment, and fear. There will be far fewer times when salvation is doubted, because the fear of the Lord produces a strong sense of security and close fellowship with the Father. And all my brothers and sisters, what a blessed benefit. Note also the fear of the Lord produces life. Proverbs 14:27 say the fear of the Lord is like a fountain of life to turn away from the snares of the devil. Because when we walk in the fear of the Lord, we are stronger spiritually than we ever could be otherwise. The fear of the Lord is like a fountain that continually springs up and with spiritual vitality and strength, which enable the Christian to live cleaner and walk closer with the Lord, thus avoiding the temptations and the traps of the devil. But not only does it produce life, but Proverbs 15:16 shows that it makes all life better. Notice says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures with trouble. Now this verse teaches us that it's better to have limited resources and be in the will of God than it is to have plenty and the troubles that come along with it. Bottom line is this, when you are in the Lord's will and when you're walking in his fear, then your care is his responsibility. Note the Bible says, according to Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Because we read in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But my brothers and sisters, a life filled with just things without the fear of the Lord is a trouble-filled life. But the life lived in faith and in the fear of God is literally carefree. But not only does it make life better, but the fear of the Lord produces satisfaction and safety. Notice it says in Proverbs 19:23 that the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. Now, he will not be visited with evil, meaning the person who lives in the fear or respect for the Lord will be a satisfied person, because they will have but one goal in life, and that is to please God, and they will have all their needs met, and they will also be happy. But when we learn to be satisfied with the Lord and with the privilege of walking in his fear, I tell you, we will be permanently satisfied. Because the person who walks in genuine fear of the Lord need never fear of going to hell, and need never fear of the many things that beset the world all around him. Because by our walk and the fear of the Lord, we bring the smile and the hedge of God into our lives. Like Satan told God in Job 1:10, he said simply, you are like a wall protecting not only him, but his entire family and all his prophets. And to top that off, you make him successful in whatever he does. Which says to us that the fear of the Lord will bring great blessings. No Proverbs 22:4 say, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. In other words, the person who chooses to walk in fear of the Lord can rest assured that this decision will bring great blessings into your life. Now, this is not talking about just physical blessings that are only temporary, but spiritual blessings which are riches beyond belief, such as peace, joy, hope, security, the promises of God, as well as the presence of God. There will be honor from the Lord, and you will be able to experience that abundant life. Because the fear of the Lord produces the greatest possible life that any person can ever live. And my brothers and sisters, there's no better life upon this earth than a life lived in the will of God. And so those are the dividends of the fear of the Lord. Well, now the final movement of the text concerning the fear of the Lord, I need you to understand that it's very important, because it talks about the decision related to the fear of the Lord. Now, my brothers and sisters, to put it simply, walking in the fear of the Lord is going to have to be your individual decision, because no one can make you do it. No one can do it for you. The decision to live a life that is ordered around a holy, reverential respect for God is a decision that you must make for yourself. Now, all I can do is tell you that deciding to walk in the fear of the Lord will produce a better life down here and will result in a life greatly blessed by the Lord. But now, a decision to live outside of the fear of the Lord, and that is living as you please for yourself, I need you to know, will not bring the blessings of God, but it'll bring his judgment to bear on your life. For the Bible says, it's appointed unto men one time to die, and after come judgment. But this doesn't have to be, because if you're not saved this morning, whether you're here or listening by way of Facebook Live, I want you to know that the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. When did he do this, Armstead? Well, according to Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his own love for us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because one Friday on a hill called Calvary, he died for the sins of the world. But bright early Sunday morning, got up from that grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hands, thus opening to all the doors of salvation, deliverance, from the penalty of sin. And all one has to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved, which will cause you to want to live your life in fear or respect for the Lord. Because if you fear him, then you'll want to honor him in everything, meaning he'll become first in your life. Then his will become paramount in your life. And that's why many times it's easy to recognize those who walk in the fear of God, because God's house is a priority. Prayer and the scriptures are priorities. Everything God says in his word take priority and precedent over all personal, one's personal wills and desires, because the Lord's way will become the only way. And at the same time, a life lived outside of the fear of the God is also easy to see, because the things of God will be secondary and other matters will be consistently placed ahead of the Lord, his will, and his work. Now, this kind of life is usually filled with trouble and trials, because there will be more heartaches and disaster in a life lived outside of fear and the will of the Lord, because this is not the way God intended the Christian life to be. And so in closing, if you by now, I hope you understand what it is to fear the Lord. And if so, I trust that you would allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart right now, that you will do what the Lord has told you or called you to do. But if you know that you're not walking in the fear of the Lord, like you should, then I invite you to come to this altar and deal with it this morning, because the Lord will help us all to walk in reverential awe of him, his greatness, and his glory. But if you don't fear the Lord, life itself can become a heavy burden. But I thank the Lord this morning that I can say, like the songwriter say, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down, I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burden down. I heard somebody else once say, I sing not because I took voice lessons. I sing not because I took singing lessons, but I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Oh, his eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Ain't God all right? Oh, he walk with me, and he talk with me, and he tell me that I am his own. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he pick you up when you fall down? Won't he save your soul to the utmost? Ain't God all right? I tell you, he's all right. I know the Lord, he's all right. Somebody ought to praise him this morning. Praise him for his goodness. Praise him for his grace. Praise him for waking you up this morning. Praise him. Yes, praise him every chance you get. Let everything have breath this morning. You ought to lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Oh, ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right because I tried. For myself. And so the text says, yes, that the fear of the Lord, yes, is the beginning of knowledge. Yes. But fools, yes, despise wisdom and, yes, knowledge. Yes. In other words, when we respect and obey the Lord, this is the beginning of knowledge. Yes. And only a fool rejects wisdom
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.